Just a quick program note, after this episode, Little Brother will be on hiatus through the remainder of this month and the month of August. I'll return on Saturday, the 9th of September. Again, that's after this episode, so stay tuned. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 133 of Little Brother for the 15th of July, 2023. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. I might not grant it, but you may request one. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Back in December, Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered that TikTok be banned from all government-owned devices. Unfortunately, that includes all state university devices, which has caused a problem for a researcher at the University of North Texas who is researching the use of social media by young people. The inability to access TikTok is impeding that research, and so the order now faces a First Amendment challenge brought by the researcher and the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. Link rot is a condition on the internet when links from one site to another go dead, as content on the target site is either removed or relocated and the links lead to that three-digit number we all know and love, 404. Expect more of that soon, as the GIF hosting site JiffyCat is shutting down on the 1st of September. If you have any content on the site, or know of any that you'd like to save, go get it now. The next time you hear my voice, it'll be too late. By the way, I am looking forward to the emails who want to tell me that it's pronounced GIF because you're wrong. A new bill has been introduced in the U.S. Senate by Senators Roger Marshall, a Republican of Kansas, and Gene Shaheen, a Democrat of New Hampshire, called the Cooper-Davis Act. The bill is named for a 16-year-old boy who died of a fentanyl overdose after purchasing illicit drugs online. The act will require electronic communication service providers and remote computing services to report any evidence that they discover of unlawful sale and distribution of counterfeit substances and certain controlled substances to the U.S. Attorney General. Naturally, this means that they're going to be scanning our content again. It also sets a bad precedent of putting websites, hosting providers, and internet service providers into a law enforcement role for which they are not equipped. Again. Just before stepping into the studio, I got word that the Judiciary Committee, which had been debating the bill, voted 16-5 to advance it. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother.
Thank you.
Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned Recently. We have an own goal on Sony. As part of the FTC versus Microsoft hearings that I mentioned last episode, those were the hearings concerning Microsoft's intentions to acquire Activision, Sony submitted some redacted documents to the court that, prior to the redaction, had details in the margins about revenues and costs of developing some of their games, most notably Call of Duty. Now, you probably all think you know where this is going. You think that this is going to be one of those cases where someone took a Word document or a PDF and put some black rectangles over the text that would be easily removed. That, it seems, has historically been a common blunder. But no, that's actually not what happened in this case. They actually tried to do it right. No, they tried to do it in a way that you would think would work, but it didn't. A physical paper copy of the document was redacted using a permanent marker to black out the parts that were not meant to be seen, and that document was scanned. You would think that would do it, right? Well, as it turns out, printer toner has a glossy luster and Sharpie has a dull luster, and yep, the scanner picked it up. Apparently, nobody bothered to check the scanned documents before submitting them to the court. There has been an obscene amount of news about AI since the past episode, so here's a quick summary of everything. So, we'll start with a case of living up to your name. According to an article in Rolling Stone, two members of the band Rage Against the Machine, vocalist Zach De La Rocha and guitarist Tom Morello, are indeed raging against the machines. They have joined a boycott with over 100 other musicians and are refusing to play in any venue that utilizes facial recognition technology. The boycott is organized by digital rights advocacy group Fight for the Future. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, where there has been an explosive growth in the deployment of driverless vehicles, saboteurs have found a way to shut them down. Apparently, placing a road cone on the hood of such a vehicle is enough to bring it to a stop until someone comes along and takes it off. Novelists Paul Tremblay and Mona Awad have brought a suit against OpenAI, the proprietors of the widely popular chatbot ChatGPT, in the San Francisco federal court, claiming that OpenAI violated their copyrights and those of other professional writers in using their bodies of work to train the large language model that ChatGPT relies on. OpenAI argues that their utilization of the content is fair use. Unrelated to that, the month of June has brought ChatGPT its first decline in monthly web traffic since its launch in November. I mentioned in the last episode that artificial intelligence engines are starting to train off of AI-generated content that they are finding on the web, which is creating something of a feedback loop. Well, it seems as though AI-generated content is starting to noise up other environments as well. Magazine editor Jennifer Stevens had told the Wall Street Journal that she was actually concerned about losing work, possibly losing her job entirely as a magazine editor to AI, only to find out that AI is actually making more work for editors. It seems as though the number of low-quality AI-generated submissions have risen dramatically, and it takes a human being to sift through them. In the UK, a group of 24 universities known as the Russell Group have drawn up guiding principles on the use of generative AI. Initially, there had been discussion of banning the use of AI entirely in an effort to prevent cheating. However, the universities have instead settled on more moderate measures, recognizing the potential power of the technology and the legitimacy of AI as a research field. While you may not have heard of the Russell Group, you have no doubt heard of many of its members, such as the University of Cambridge, the London School of Economics, and the University of Edinburgh. The Mechanical Turk was an elaborate hoax of the 18th century, presented to the public as a machine that could play chess. Now, in actual truth, there was a person hidden inside the machine who was the real chess player. Amazon has a microgig service that is named after the alleged automaton, in which small tasks that need to be performed by a human can be performed by a gig worker for a small fee. Well, in a strange twist of fate, it's actually starting to surface that some of the gig workers behind Mechanical Turk are in turn giving their work to actual machines by using AI to automate the tasks. I'm honestly not sure whether to say that this is cool or sad or what. I think I'm going to go with what. There is a law that has been slowly working its way through the European Parliament, which would tightly regulate the use of AI. That's not news. What is news is that the CEOs of about 150 European corporations are now voicing objections to the law. The obvious problem with regulating this technology, as any other, is that when you slow or you halt the development of something in one jurisdiction, development continues unabated in others. Regulating AI in Europe to the point of making it difficult for, say, Siemens to do something with it just hands control of the market over to competitors in other markets, for instance, Huawei. On Tuesday, U.S. senators received a classified briefing at the White House on the topic of AI as the Senate is considering regulations for the technology here. Apparently, they didn't hear from these CEOs in Europe. Obviously, I have no info on the content of the briefing. Finally, how about a clever use of AI to deal with one of life's nuisances? It seems as though an AI named Whitey Whitebeard has been deployed to torture telemarketers. The AI's voice is a clone of a Vermont dairy farmer named Sid Berkson and is the creation of one of Berkson's friends, Roger Anderson, who designs chatbots like Whitey to talk in circles and tie up telemarketers. While this is something I personally do to telemarketers myself when I have a moment to talk, my time, unfortunately, is worth rather a lot more than that of an AI, and I have a lot less patience. I asked the Albany 2600 group what their thoughts were about using AI as torture devices.
Given that there are people who are currently using AI to torture telemarketers, if you could use AI to torture somebody, who would you point it at and how?
I would torture my Luddite sister by teaching her what it is.
By teaching her what AI is?
That's all I would have to do.
Just teach her an AI?
I wouldn't have to demonstrate it. I would just explain the concept, and that would be pretty torturous to her.
I would point it at Donald J. Trump. It's easy, but it also provides maximum entertainment. Because, as you recall, he has the best words.
I would have one AI emotionally abuse another AI.
Emotional damage!
See, I'm not really good in the whole torture department is the thing. The only one I'm good at torturing is myself. I'm very good at that. Probably mostly just be working on trying to figure out how to animate things faster with in-between frames and stuff.
Okay, so you would put the AI to some productive use.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we're obsessed as humans at teaching them how to be more and more human. I mean, eventually, are they not going to want, like, rights and stuff? I mean, you got to work with them. You got to be nice to them. You can't abuse them.
Those were, in order of appearance, Snackness, Chris, Fongaboo, and Finnegan. And that's the AI Roundup for this episode. France would not normally warrant a focus section on this show, but it seems like between episode 132 and now, they've generated a lot of tech news. So, allons-y. The first item is pretty mundane, really, and it's not unlike items we've heard from other jurisdictions around the world, and indeed from many within our own country. It appears as though France is now requiring parental consent for children under the age of 15 to use social media platforms. For the second item, France wants to censor the World Wide Web. However, this is more daft than it appears at first. You see, it seems as though they came to understand that VPNs can be used to get around censorship that's implemented on the network. So obviously it belongs in the web browser, right? You heard that right. Your own device that you paid for is supposed to censor what you do with it. That is obscene as it sounds. Anyone technical and anyone who knows a guy will bypass that far more easily than using a VPN. For the rest of these, I want to provide a little context for those not following international news. It seems as though a few weeks ago there was an incident involving police in France, and it so badly and awfully resembles so many highly publicized police encounters that have happened here in the U.S. In short, during a routine traffic stop, a minority teenager, Algerian in this case, was shot by police. We don't know the teen's last name. He's generally being referred to as Nael M. Anyway, in response, the French populace have been doing something that they do really, really well. Protest. One of the remaining stories involves a daft response from President Emmanuel Macron to the protests. He has blamed social media and video games. I feel like we've heard that one before, yeah? The statement from Macron was essentially, quote, "It sometimes feels like some of them are experiencing on the streets the video games that have intoxicated them," end quote. That was translated from a press conference on the 1st of July. Of course, he couldn't blame the protests on the fact that the police shot dead a teenager, right? I'm sure that's got nothing to do with it. There's not a lot that can be done about the video games, because, of course, they can be played offline. But it seems as though Macron's response to the social media component has been to threaten to cut off social media. I guess from our earlier item in this section, he's going to have it blocked at the browser. I don't know. Anyway, the president has been labeled authoritarian for his efforts on this front. Keeping up with that authoritarian appearance, the French Parliament have passed a bill that allows police to spy on people by remotely activating the cameras and microphones on their mobile devices. Now, while I am very much alarmed by that development, the fact that I find the most alarming is that there appear to be technical means to do it. I don't know about you, but it kind of makes me want to do away with my mobile devices, because if France can pass a law to do this, you better fucking believe it's already being done elsewhere. So, I've talked a number of times about how Twitter has become something of a dumpster fire after being acquired by Elon Musk. Honestly, I believe he got in over his head, but no matter, it doesn't make it less of a dumpster fire. Well, it seems like Meta, which, as you will recall, is the parent company of WhatsApp, Instagram, Oculus, and Facebook, amongst others, has smelled blood in the water and created a Twitter lookalike called Threads. Let's start by getting the pulse of the Albany 2600 crowd on this.
I've been keeping up with it to a certain degree. I have not joined.
How do you feel about the way that it's tied into Insta?
I mean, I think it's a brilliant move on Facebook's part. They're preying on a weak point for Twitter right now, who's flailing in the water. They've built out this Threads, which is a copycat of Twitter, though a bit with limited feature set. But it's Facebook's MO to pirate concepts from competing firms, right? Their Stories feature came from Snapchat. They brought up and snatched up Instagram, WhatsApp. So I think it's a brilliant move on their part. I thought it was interesting that they paired it with Instagram and not Facebook. Facebook has a much older audience at this point and is already noted as being a combative cesspool of political infighting, where Instagram's not quite associated with that really as much.
Literally the reason I left Facebook.
Right. So they've paired it with Instagram instead, which will probably draw the right group, I think, from the mass exodus of Twitter that's been, well, maybe it's not a mass exodus, the slow bleed from Twitter that's been going on.
So, very good.
I think they're positioning it really well.
Sounds real stupid.
No knowledge or interest in Threads. Well, granted, I had no knowledge or interest in Twitter, so it's, you know, not a reach for me.
Oh, just what we needed right now. Another commercially driven walled garden. Great.
I've never heard of it. Many have tried and many have failed. Yeah. I do not have faith in them.
Those were, in order of appearance, Chris, Lil, Snackness, Fongaboo, and Finnegan. And yes, for those of you who remember the radio show Little Brother from back around 2000 to 2002, yep, that was that Lil. In the process of gathering all of that, I actually had someone ask my opinion as well. So since I am a commentator, it feels as though it seems to me like I ought to comment. Or is it commentate? I don't know, whatever. It feels to me as though Threads was rushed to market. To demonstrate that point, one of the things that has come forward about it is how tightly integrated it is to Instagram. It seems as though the Instagram infrastructure, including its accounts and its profiles, were used to build Threads in order to speed its delivery to the market. According to Meta, you can shut down your Threads account at any time you like, but the only way to actually delete the profile? Well, that's to delete your Instagram profile. Fun, huh? Okay, we have a few OPSEC items this time, so let's get into it. As I've discussed a number of times on this podcast, recent changes to access to abortion in this country have led to increased surveillance in the interest of catching women from states where the practice has been outlawed or severely restricted from seeking the services elsewhere. Regardless of how you feel about the practice, I think most of us can agree that the level of surveillance taking place is maddening. Either you end up spinning your wheels a lot trying to evade it, or you give in and accept that everyone is going to be all up in your grill. As such, regardless of what triggered it, I think we can all agree that a new bill in Massachusetts is a win. The bill in question, introduced by State Senate Majority Leader Cynthia Stone Cream, would limit the uses to which a company can collect data from cell phones. Location data collected within the state, for instance, would be tightly regulated to being used for the specific stated purpose that the app fulfills. Now, while this does leave a lot wide open, it does mean, for instance, that while Google Maps or its Apple counterpart can use your location to tell you how to get from where you are to where you want to be, or can use your location to show you where you are on a map, it cannot sell this information to other interested parties. It's not great, but it's a good first step. If other states start to enact similar laws, the resulting patchwork may become difficult for companies to navigate, which, if we dare hope, might actually lead to Google et al. Lobbying for a federal law just to unify the mess. However, here's something that the federal government is doing. Senators Peter Welch, a Democrat of Vermont, and Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat of Massachusetts, have sent a strongly worded letter to Andrew Jassy, who is presently the president and CEO of Amazon. I know, strongly worded letter. Ooh, but think for a second. Such a letter, coming from two senators, is a way that's saying that their eyes are on you, and that you need to fix some behavior before they decide to fix it for you. So, what is it? Well, it turns out Amazon has a health platform called Amazon Clinic, and the senators are concerned about the collection and misuse of people's health data. The secret sauce, it seems, is that the agreements that you sign when you sign up for Amazon Clinic, one of those agreements is an authorization that gives Amazon complete access to your health information and releases the information from HIPAA protection. What the fuck? This is not good. To that end, the senators have respectfully requested answers to a handful of pointed questions, including asking for a sample of the contracts that patients must agree to, an itemized list of what data are collected, who it gets shared with, and how the data are processed. Go get 'em. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Julie Bernstein, Fongaboo, Azriel, DOA, Thriller at Play, Joe Cadillac, and Ed for story leads, and to Snackness, Chris, Finnegan, Lil, and Fongaboo for appearing in this episode. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 134 will drop on the 9th of September. Stay safe and be well. Has been to threaten to cut off social media. There's not a Meanwhile, Twitter seems to perceive Threads as a credible threat, unlike some other workalites that... Workalites. I cannot say workalikes for some reason. The letter accuses Meta of misappropriating Twitter's trade secrets... Mailwidge. Mailwidge is what brings us together today. Meanwhile, Twitter seems to perceive threats... It seems to perceive threats as a credible thread. Holy shit, I made it through.